I got a little carried away singing "And Can It Be?" I love that song, and I noticed my voice starting to be stretched a little when I was trying to sing some of the harmony with that. So I had to back off, Pat. I couldn't, you know, go full bore singing it out. But good singing this morning, and appreciate the team again leading us in that. Well, I don't have to tell you this, but it has been an unsettling time for us here in America this past year. And we've talked a little bit about this as we began this new series. And some of that unsettledness has to do with a lot of things. Politics, the world around us, and of course, COVID. I think it's frightening to many Christians, though, to see where America is actually headed. In fact, maybe you're here this morning and you kind of wonder yourself, what does the future hold for us as a country? It's interesting that the Bible is fairly silent when it comes to America and its place in the end times. Dr. Tim LaHaye wrote many years ago, "One of the hardest things for American prophecy students to accept is that the United States is not clearly mentioned in biblical prophecy." Now, there may be a couple of reasons for that. I'll share a couple with you. One thought is that in the grand scheme of the history of life, that the United States is the new kid on the block. And the Bible makes no mention of most of the nations that are part of what we would call the modern world. So America, being a fairly modern country, is, of course, then not mentioned. Another possibility is that in the future, that America may be incorporated into some type of European coalition, and though it's not mentioned by name in prophecy, it will be part of this whole political realignment that will foreshadow the end times. Another thought is this: the idea that the United States will be infected with moral decay and that we will cease to be a nation of influence. Over 16 years ago, LaShawn Barber, and I don't know if you've read any of her writings, but sometime read some of the writings of LaShawn Barber. She wrote an article entitled "America on the Decline." And she said this: "In the decline and fall of the Roman Empire, several reasons are discussed for the great civilization's demise, including the undermining of the dignity and sanctity of the home and the decay of religion. America has been compared to the Roman Empire in secular and religious ways. But regardless of its ultimate legacy, America is a civilization on the decline. A couple of centuries from now, or sooner, someone will lament the loss of a once great civilization that brought prosperity to the world and tried to make it safe for democracy. The glory of the United States will lay in ruins, brought down not by terrorists, but by its own debauchery and complacency." End of quote. And finally, there is the thought that America will be a non-factor because of the rapture. If the rapture were to happen tomorrow and all true Christ followers disappeared to glory in a single moment, the United States would drastically change, wouldn't it? I would hope so. Think about it. America would not only lose a significant percentage of its population, but she would lose the salt and light of the nation. Can you imagine the chaos in our country when all the Christians disappear? So, how should we live then? In an unsettled, chaotic world, how should we live to the glory of God in light of perhaps what will continue to be part of our unsettled future? What should be our attitude and behavior in light of the possibility that our world is on the throes of the end times? Often we find ourselves living in trouble, when we find ourselves living in those troubled times and difficulty comes upon us and we don't know what to do, what our normal tendency is to focus on ourselves, is it not? Focus on ourselves. We kind of cry out, woe is me. Or how can things become better for me? And it does seem in our time of living in this upheaval that's all around us that there are a lot of accusations and criticisms that are constantly being hurled about. And so again, we say, where is our country headed? And we get concerned about our culture and our Christianity and the church, which from our perspective seems like it's under attack. In 2019, Attorney General William Barr spoke at Notre Dame, and he said this: from the founding era onward, there was a strong consensus about the centrality of religious liberty in the United States. And then he went on to talk about how he sees the very Judeo-Christian values that you and I have held dear. He sees those being targeted for an organized destruction. We think about that and say, boy, it seems like maybe there's some real truth to his words. Well, again, this morning we find ourselves in week 3 of our teaching series on making sense in a senseless world. My grandson is a slender freshman athlete. You could say he's skinny. He likes to think he's slender, all right? And he's grown like a weed. Just a year ago, he was probably up to here on me, and in a year's time, he's as tall as I am. But one of the things that he wants to do, because again, he plays sports, is he wants to bulk up. So he asked all the relatives if they could kind of come together and get him a weight set and a bench and barbells and all that. Larry, you probably know because I know you work out all the time with those kinds of things. All right. And so I said, Brady, why do you want all this? Because he says, I want to build up my body. I want to get stronger. So he got all those for Christmas. And yesterday I saw him. We had a family gathering for a birthday for one of the grandchildren. I said, Brady, how's it going with the weights? And he says, every day I use them. I have a daily routine. I said, are you bulking up? He goes, well, maybe a little. All right? Maybe a little. Our message today is entitled this: Take Up Bodybuilding. Take Up Bodybuilding. I want to invite you to turn with me in your scriptures to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and let me read the first 11 verses of this chapter. I'm reading from the New International Version. You can listen or follow along in your scripture. Paul says, now, brothers and sisters, about times and dates, we do not need to write to you. For you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you, brothers and sisters, are not in darkness, so that this day should surprise you like a thief. You are all children of the light and children of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So then, let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be awake and sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, putting on faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation as a helmet. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with Him. And here's our key verse. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. And again, as we have said, we live in a day and age of negativity and criticism. And sadly, this whole thing of tearing down has spread to the church. I've seen many churches that have become very critical, not just of what is going on in the world, but even very critical of other churches. And I understand the need to speak out against untruth. I understand the need to be able to say, hey, this is wrong according to God's word. But I think that sometimes what happens is that the church is viewed then as something that is not positive, something that is not to be there to see people come to know Christ and to live for Him and to follow Him. It becomes more about the church being what it is against than what it's for. I'd rather have us be known as a church that we are for these things. And let's identify them and speak well of them and encourage others to follow them. There is, as you know, a poisoning in our culture and our politics and in business and, yes, even the church. We read of this in 2 Timothy 3:4. You don't have to turn there. I'll read it for you. But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Wow. That's what's going to happen in the end times, in the last days. So as we look at some of those negative behaviors that this passage points out, many of those behaviors are what is going to be exhibited toward other people. This is going to be common in our world. So behaviors like being abusive and ungrateful and practicing no love and being unforgiving and slanderous and brutal and treacherous and conceited. That's what's going to be the norm, if you might, in the end times. You see some of that maybe happening today? But folks, this should not be happening in the church. Again, therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. And so in this time of perhaps a tearing down, and in the shadow of the last days, we need each other. We need each other. But sadly, in some churches, there are far too many demolition experts. You know what a demolition is? All right. Dr. Jeremiah tells about the time when he was a young preacher traveling to various churches to speak. One Sunday, he was the guest speaker at a church in Ohio. And as was kind of his way of doing things back then, he would sing a solo and then he would preach to the church. After the service, as he was greeting folks, a woman walked up to him and she said, "Son, I've heard you preach and I want to tell you, you need to sing more." I'd call her a demolition expert. So we're going to talk a little bit about bodybuilding this morning. And first we're going to note this, the command stated. Because I believe verse 11 is a command. Yes, it is an encouragement, but it's also an exhortation. You see, we have a mutual responsibility to fellow believers to build them up in the faith. And as our text points out, Christians should let the prospect of spending eternity with Jesus and being with Him and being part of that glorious group of fellow believers, that should motivate us to encourage and edify one another. And so instead of being perhaps dismayed at all the world events that are unfolding, we should remind one another that better days lie ahead. And then we should encourage and build up one another. Build up one another to be more like Jesus and better equipped to serve Him. If you have your bulletins, if you haven't turned there, you can turn to the back. And there's an outline there, but there's also what I've put down, a working definition of building up one another. I want to read that for you, and then you're going to do a little exercise for me, all right? Building up one another is a process of interaction among believers by which they promote by teaching, encouragement, and example the development of Christ-like character and behavior in one another. Now, if you've got a writing tool, pull it out. And I'm going to have you circle some words, some key words in that definition. First, I want you to circle the word building up. So circle building up. Then circle the two words one another. Then circle process. Then circle the three words that are together, teaching, encouragement, and example. And then finally, circle Christ-like character. What are we to be doing? We are to be building up, as the definition tells us. And who are we to be building up? One another. And what is involved? It's an ongoing process. And how is it accomplished? Through teaching, encouragement, and example. And what is the end result? Christ-like character. Well, second, the command understood. And we're going to try to understand this command a little bit better. The Greek verb that's used in verse 11 that is translated build up in the NIV or edify in the King James is an imperative. And you probably remember from your English days that an imperative is a command. But I think this imperative is not just a command, it's a positive command. The verb tense in which it's used is a present continuous. Now, what does that mean? It indicates that this is something that should be done habitually, as part of a pattern. It speaks of something that is ongoing. So it's not like that we encourage somebody, perhaps in our church, and we say, great, I am covered now for the rest of my life. It's not the case. Paul makes it clear that this whole thing of bodybuilding is to be ongoing. I know of a Christian man that met with a younger man that started coming to his church, a younger man that had recently become a believer in Jesus Christ. And he met with this young man just about every week for a full year. They would read God's Word together. They would discuss it, talk about it. They would pray with one another. And 2 years later, that young man went to a Christian college and became a minister. I have two grandchildren. One just turned three. The other one will be turning three pretty quick. They're cousins. They've kind of grown up together. And so we've had them over to our house. And even though they're at this stage of their life where they can do most things for themselves, we wouldn't dare allow them to be responsible for their own food, for their own clothing, for their protection. That would be foolish on our part to do that. And yet sometimes we have been guilty in the church of letting believers develop spiritually in a vacuum. We've left them to their own. So what are we to be building up? Well, Paul makes it clear in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm going to read the last part of verse 24 through verse 27. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoiceth with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is part of it. Paul makes it very clear here that we are part of the body of Christ. And when we build up fellow believers, we are building up His body. The verse I just read in 27 of 1 Corinthians 12, Paul is reminding believers both individually and collectively that they were part of Christ's body. They're part of the church for whom He died. And folks, when we read that, it ramps it up. This ramps it up. We are part of a special body, the body of Christ. We can't ignore this truth. We can't turn our backs on this truth. We have a mutual responsibility as part of the body of Christ to build up one another. And then third, let us note the command applied. I want to give you some things to keep in mind as we strive to build up one another. And the first one is this. Bodybuilding is not about us. It's about others. Bodybuilding is not about us. It's about others. We live in a very, I think, sad time in which the me generation has kind of taken over. Sad to say, this me-ism has spread to the church. In Irwin McManus's book, An Unstoppable Force, he bemoans the fact that we have lost sight of caring and serving others in the church. He writes this, "Unfortunately for too many people, when the conversation is no longer about them, there's not much left to be said." End of quote. He goes on to talk about how in the church today, everything is evaluated on whether or not our needs, our special and specific needs, are being met. Our most important question has become, what does the church have to offer me? And I've heard that more and more in my years in the ministry. People will come and visit the church and they'll have ask if they can sit down with me. And then right away, one of the first questions out of their mouth is, well, what do you have for me? I'm of this particular age group. What do you have for me? I have children. What do you have for my children? What do you have for my teenagers? How am I going to be encouraged? Will I come and be blessed? Now, I'm not against asking those kinds of questions. I hope you understand that. We ought to ask questions about what is the children's ministry and the youth ministry and so forth. But it seems that we have come into this consumerism mentality of the church needs to be all about me. For Christ followers who are the body of Christ, it should always be we over me. We really ought to be asking the question, how will this church help me to be a better Christ follower? How will this church help me to be able to serve others better? How will this church help me to be able to minister to a lost and broken world? Those really ought to be the primary questions that we ask as we are part of a church. And you know this, one of the key ways in which we build up others is through our words. Words of teaching and discipleship. Words of encouragement. And yes, sometimes words of correction and admonition. Paul gives a strong exhortation regarding our words when he says this in Ephesians 4:29. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. That word unwholesome was used in the Greek language to describe spoiled fish and rotten fruit. So Paul, as he uses this word, it says, do not let any rotten words come out of your mouth or spoiled words. And folks, especially when it comes to the body of Christ, we have to guard our words and use them to build up one another. Well, another thing to keep in mind is this. Bodybuilding is not an occasional activity, but a continual pursuit. It's not just a one-time thing. It's an ongoing ministry. Romans 14:19 says, "Let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and mutual edification." That phrase, mutual edification, simply means mutually building up one another. But there's also a key phrase in this verse that can't be overlooked, and that is make every effort. that dismisses any kind of half-hearted effort. It dismisses any kind of once-in-a-while effort. Really, it is saying that we are to be involved in this ministry that is ongoing and intentional. Because building up the body is not something that just happens on its own. Pursuing edification or bodybuilding means that we have to stay on task. So as a church, I think we need to kind of be looking and evaluating how are we doing as a church in this thing called bodybuilding. How am I doing as a Christ follower in building up other Christians? Sometimes we get off task by pursuing non-essentials. Paul warned about that in 1 Timothy 1:4, and you can read that sometime. But, you know, silly arguments about inconsequential religious questions or squabbles over church politics or even the color of carpets. I know a church that almost came to a division because they couldn't agree on the color of the new carpet in their auditorium. Or who gets to serve on what committees. I mean, there are a lot of non-essentials that we find ourselves getting upset about in the church. So I want to ask you a penetrating question. And it's a question I even ask of myself every so often. And it's this. Would people describe you as an encourager? Don't have to answer that out loud. You don't even have to shake your head. But ponder that for a moment. Would people consider you or describe you as an encourager? I want you to listen to this poem. I saw them tearing a building down, a group of men in a busy town. With hefty blow and lusty yell, they swung with zest and a side wall fell. Asked of the foreman, "Are these men skilled? The kind you would hire if you had to build?" He looked at me and laughed. "No, indeed. Unskilled labor is all I need. Why, they can wreck in a day or two what it has taken builders years to do." I asked myself as I went my way, which of these roles have I tried to play? Am I a builder with rule and square? Measuring and constructing with skill and care? Or am I the wrecker who walks the town, content with the business of tearing down? And then finally, bodybuilding is not about how much we know, but how much we care. 1 Corinthians 8:1 tells us, "Knowledge puffs up, but love builds up." The New Living Translation has it as this: "While knowledge may make us feel important, it is love that really builds up the church." Folks, people will often wander into a church because they are lonely, they are hurting, or they're disconnected. And they come to that church hoping to find love and acceptance. So how much do we care? Do we have those caring antennas? A medical school student told of this experience. "During the second month of nursing school, the professor gave us a pop quiz. I was a conscientious student and had breezed through the questions until I read the last one. And it said this: what is the first name of the woman who cleans the school? I thought, surely this is some kind of joke. I had seen the cleaning woman several times. She was tall, dark-haired, and in her 50s. But how would anyone know her name? I handed in my paper, leaving the last question blank. Before class ended, one student asked if the last question would count toward our quiz grade. Absolutely, said the professor. In your careers, you will meet many people. All are significant. They deserve your attention and care. even if all you do is smile and say hello. She said, I've never forgot that lesson. I also learned that her name was Dorothy. As we close our teaching time this morning on building up one another, I want to challenge you or leave with you these two truths. And the first one is this. We need to understand that no believer can fully develop Christ-like character and behavior all by his or herself. I really believe that. You may say, well, you know, what if they just spent time all by themselves reading God's word several hours a day and praying? Couldn't they really be fully developed as a Christian? And my answer to that would be no. God has designed us to be able to be part of his body and has given to us specific responsibilities relative to that body. Mutual responsibilities that we are to carry out one to another. And sadly, though, there are Christians who feel no responsibility for the spiritual growth of other believers. But also sadly is this. Christians who don't feel the need to have other believers involved in their lives. And then the second truth that I want to share with you is this. Building up one another means that we must be willing to learn about each other and be involved in each other's life. See, when we do this, we can learn about our fellow believers and their needs and the areas in which they need instruction or encouragement. And so that's why a church has different events and outings, so that we might be able to fellowship and share with each other. And I recognize COVID has put a halt to that. But I don't know about you, I'm looking forward to when we can get back together and have some fellowship. Deb and I have moved into a 55 and older community. Never thought I would do that, all right? And all the homes kind of look alike, you know, they have different colors and a couple of different styles. And so we moved in the end of July, and we really haven't been able to get to know people very well. We've talked a little bit to our neighbors. But everybody that has already been there has been lamenting this. They can't wait until the big clubhouse gets opened up so people can come back together and fellowship and share together. Some of you might say, well, you know, why does Kentwood have different outings and things? So that you might have the opportunity to get together and to learn about each other and to share with each other. I'm going to do a little history of KBC, all right? When I came to KBC many, many, many years ago, all right, 1986, we came. And one of the things that I enjoyed and we kind of started doing together, we had a ball field across the street. How many of you remember that? The ball field across? Oh, okay. The ball field's over here now. And we started having a lot of young couples come to church. And so we had a men's softball team and a woman's softball team. And then we had enough that we had another men's team. And then we had a couple of outings where we had couples softball. If you ever played couples softball, you have to hold hands while you're playing. That's a whole other story. All right? And we would have supper times and picnics. And those were precious times that allowed us the opportunity to get to know one another. One of the things I always appreciated about KBC was people inviting one another over to their homes for eating times and sharing times. And again, I hope we can do that when COVID gets done. All those are important so that we can learn about each other, about some of the things we're struggling with, to be able to share even some of the blessings that we have been able to have. So here's our take home. Are we willing to do what it takes to get involved in the ministry of bodybuilding? And what it takes is the sacrifice of love and time. Father, We are thankful for your Holy Spirit that you have placed in our hearts, and we know that the Holy Spirit guides us and instructs us and convicts us. But Father, you have also given us fellow believers. Believers to encourage us, to help us in our spiritual growth and edification, and sometimes to even challenge us when we perhaps get off course. And Father, I thank you for the fellow believers we have here at Kentwood Baptist Church. Lord, we would probably all have to admit to you that sometimes it is easier and more comfortable for us to hibernate in our protective shells. But Father, help us to care about each other enough to invest in each other's life. And Father, help us to get involved in the ministry of building up one another. Because Lord, I believe if we will do this, it will help us take our eyes off our world and the troubles of our world and to focus on you more readily. And we give thanks in Christ's name. Amen. I'm going to ask you to stand as the team leads us in our closing song.
Rise up, O Church of God, have done with lesser things. Give heart and mind and soul and strength to serve the King of Kings. Rise up, O Church of God, His kingdom tarries long. Bring in the day of brotherhood and end the night of wrong. Lift high the cross of Christ, tread where His feet have trod. As followers of the Son of Man, rise up, O Church of God.